Well, good morning and welcome to Victory Baptist Church. It's good to see you in the house of the Lord today. What a good day to gather together to worship the Lord and to lift our voices to sing. And so glad that you can be here. We'll start off with a scripture reading from the Word of God. We're going to be reading Romans chapter 8 as we continue in the second part here of finding hope in a troubled world. Romans chapter 8. We'll begin with verse 18. I'll actually have you join in unison when we come down to verse 22. So we'll be reading Romans 8. I'll begin at verse 18. Let's stand together for the reading of the Word of God. Romans chapter 8, beginning with verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. And then join me on verse 22 through verse 25. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. Thank God for the hope that we have because of Jesus. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the joy there is in knowing you. Thank you that you are worthy of all glory, and we do exalt your name and praise you. Father, I ask for your blessing on this service, that you would work, that you would stir in our hearts, that you would draw us nearer to you. Lord, I pray that you would strengthen the hope that we have because of Jesus. Lord, help that hope to truly permeate the daily areas of our lives, that we would be triumphant, joy-filled Christians, that you would continue this work of grace in us as we grow in faith. Lord, we thank you for this. We do pray also for our nation. We pray that you'd continue to work, and even as in many areas, it seems the virus that we've been facing this year seems to be growing and spreading in some ways. Lord, we pray your continued hand working in this matter. Lord, your grace, and Lord, I pray that you'd accomplish good things in hearts and lives as you have shaken up so many lives and situations. And Father, I pray that more people would be drawn to trust you and to find refuge in the rock that is higher than us, that is unshakable. And Father, I do pray that you would work in our nation to draw us back to you. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The hope that we can have in God, it is a wonderful thing. I'll tell you, in this world, we will not find a confident hope, not in any other place, but in the Lord and his word. So many times we, even as believers, get our eyes on our circumstances, get our eyes on the challenges and troubles and our own shortcomings or our own desires. And in a situation like that, our hope begins to fade. We must renew our focus on the Lord. And so, as we consider in this second part to finding hope in a troubled world, finding hope in a troubled world. Noticing verse 22, the Bible tells us that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. We looked last week at some of the reasons that our world is groaning and travailing. The reasons are not, the root reason is not disease or viruses or things like that or other types of sickness or economic disaster. Those really aren't the root causes of the turmoil. The turmoil in this world is rooted in the fact of sin, that sin has entered the world. Our world is troubled because of sin. That's why we have sickness and disease, and that's why it's incredibly hard to make a living, incredibly hard to raise a family for the Lord, very hard in so many areas because we live in a fallen world. Sin entered the world, and we also have sin in our own beings. Sin isn't something that comes from the outside and can get in if you're in a bad environment. Sin is something that begins at conception, that we got passed down from our great-great-great-great-grandfather, Adam. We have that sin nature because we are of the seed of Adam. The heart, the Lord says, is deceitful above all things. Jeremiah 17, verse 9. It's desperately wicked. Only the Lord really can discern the extent and the heart of man. So where can we find hope? We looked last week at the reality that hope cannot be found in some earthly relationship or some popularity. If we just had some fame, or if I was just better liked on Facebook or some strange pursuit such as that. You know what? Those things don't satisfy, yet so many people pursue after that for satisfaction. They sometimes even unknowingly look in those places, in all the wrong places, for something to fill the void in their lives. And so people look, they look to money and possessions. They look to alcohol and drugs to fill and to dampen the pain, the misery of which they are feeling. But as you know as well as I, that those things only exacerbate the problem. They make it worse. And Jesus is the only one who can bring hope and true healing. The Lord Jesus, not another drug, not another activity, only Jesus. Jesus read the scripture from Isaiah there as he was in the synagogue. We looked at it last week in Luke 4. Jesus said that he had come to heal the brokenhearted. He'd come to heal, set at liberty the captives. He came to give sight to the blind and several other things that Jesus mentioned there as he read the scripture from Isaiah, as is recorded in Luke 4. And what a reality that is. Jesus came for the sick. He came truly for those who are spiritually sick and in spiritual poverty, who recognize their need. Blessed, Matthew 5 says, are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Hope is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, we saw last week that hope is found in something unshakable. And when we think about shakable things, everything in this world is shakable. Economics, your business, your job, your health, your family. You can lose it all. You can lose your job. You can lose your savings. You can lose your health. You can lose your children. You can lose your spouse. You can lose your friends. You can lose your house that you labored to build, or you put your life savings to pay off. You can lose all of these things in a moment of time. And as great a loss as those things are, those things should not be our confidence. They should not be our hope. We must keep our attention upon that which is unshakable, the holy word of God. I'm thankful that we have the scriptures, the holy word of God, inspired by the Lord, given through 40 different God-fearing, spirit-filled men who penned the very words of the scripture. I'm thankful for, in the English language, we have a faithful translation of the original Hebrew, the original Greek, that we have the faithful, preserved word in the King James Version of the scriptures. It is a trustworthy translation, and I'm thankful for that. We have the Word of God there, but we also have the Lord that we can depend on, the one whose Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God if we've trusted Him. We have that reality that can't be seen with the naked eye, but is powerful and real, even as Jesus explained it to Nicodemus in John 3, that the Spirit is like the wind, that you can't see. You can't see it, but you can see its effect. And we can have the Spirit of God as believers, for He has promised to give His Spirit to those who trust Him, that He will move in, literally, into our very being. What a wonderful thing that is. This is unshakable truths about God, about reality. And so we must put our hope in the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll jump into point two. Heavenly Father, we look to You because You are the one who can open our eyes. We desire not to just review mundane, in some regard, mundane facts. We desire that You would apply Your truth to our lives, that we might see it, that it might burn within our hearts. Lord, we pray that You would draw us near. Lord, in the daily challenges of life, it can be difficult and troublesome. And Lord, I pray that You would help us to see through the trial and to recognize Your hand at work, that we would trust You even when it seems many things have gone wrong. Lord, that we would be faithful, that we would take seriously Your will and Your commands, that we would delight in Your word day and night, that we might be blessed. Father, our hope is in You. Renew and strengthen that even now. And for those who do not yet have the hope of Christ, for those who are yet in their sin, Lord, trouble their soul, that they might see that they are in sin, that they have not believed yet on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. And help today to be that day, whether it's someone listening online right now, whether it's watching it later, whether it's someone gathered in the assembly here this morning, that their hearts would be stirred with not only the reality of their sinful condition, but the salvation that Jesus paid for on the cross to cleanse our sin and to give us His life, life eternal. Lord, I pray that they would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So hope is found in something unshakable. I want you to see also further that hope is found in someone who has overcome every foe. Someone who has overcome every foe. Let's go to Psalm 16. Psalm 16. Think about this reality, that Jesus has overcome every foe, every enemy that we have. He has overcome the greatest enemies. First of all, I'd like to address His conquering of hell. He conquered hell. Psalm 16, verse 8. I have set the Lord. Now, this is a psalm of David, but it is prophetic about Jesus. And verse 8, I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. And in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And so he has conquered hell. We don't have to fear hell. If we've trusted Jesus, hell is not something we're going to face. He's delivered us from hell. Peter actually preached this on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter number 2. Acts 2. Go over there to the New Testament. Acts chapter 2. I want you to notice verse 21. Acts 2 and verse 21. Peter is preaching and he says these words. And he says, "It shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance." Peter preaches with the text here, one of them being Psalm 16 that we just read. And he preaches the victory because of Jesus, the one that he says, "You crucified, you, my wicked man, you've crucified him." Jesus had just in recent years lived among these people. He died. Some of these very people Peter was preaching to were there in the crowd on that day when those two other criminals were going to be crucified, and they were shouting and calling for Jesus also to be hung on that cross. Many of those came to Christ on this day. They turned from sin. Think of that. Some of the very people who called for his death and that a criminal such as Barabbas to be released. What injustice. But they were saved. Many. Tells us in verse 41 that day 3,000 souls came to Christ. They recognize that Jesus is the Messiah, that he defeated hell, that he defeated death. These people knew he rose. They knew it. It wasn't done in a corner. It was something that was known and known widely that Jesus rose and walked among men after his death, that he appeared to many and all of those things. Think about 1 Corinthians 15, which talks about the victory over the grave, and it snickers a little bit at the grave, and it says, "Oh grave, where is your victory? But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." I'll tell you what, we have so much hope because Jesus defeated hell. Hell is a place created for wicked people. Hell is a place created for the devil to be punished and all those who side with him. And Jesus delivered our soul from hell. The liars that we have been, the fornicators, the idolaters. Hell has been taken care of from our account. It is no longer our destiny because of Jesus and the faith we've put in him to do what he said he'd do. So hell is defeated. Death is defeated. The Bible says in Proverbs 14, verse 32, it says, "The wicked is driven away in his wickedness, but the righteous hath hope in his death." The righteous hath hope in his death. Proverbs 14, 32. He has hope even in death. "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." You see, we have a victor over death itself. Oh, my friend, not just hell defeated, not just death. And I'll tell you, we're all facing death. But death is not the end. Death is not going to usher the believer to damnation. Death is the portal through which we will enter the heavenly kingdom. What a wonderful truth this is. And Satan is also defeated. That wicked foe, that very powerful, once beautiful, angelic being who by pride sinned against God, who was cast out of heaven, and who has walked on this earth and is known and said to be, as the scripture says, the God, small g, the God of this world, who blinds people's hearts and minds. But the Bible says to the believer in James 4, verse 7, "Submit yourselves to God. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." As we, as a child of God, submit to God, that's key. The resisting the devil and he will flee must be preceded by submission to God. You see, it's through Christ we have the victory. Our hope is not in us. It's not in us doing the right things. It's not in us keeping certain rituals. The hope is in the Lord. The hope is in him, the one who's defeated every foe. Satan is a defeated foe. In Revelation 20, if you'd take your Bible over there to Revelation 20, as we come nearing the end of the Bible, we see Satan's final doom. Revelation 20, noticing verse 10, the Bible says, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." This is his doom. Oh, eternity. Eternity will be without the devil. Heaven will be a place where there's no sin, a place where there's no death. Heaven is a wonderful place. Oh, we must root our confidence in the one who's defeated every foe. Think about sin. We'll go over to 1 Corinthians. I want you to notice here, 1 Corinthians, these were some people that had a lot of corruption in their lives. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I'm going to begin with verse 9. The Bible states very clearly, it says, "Know ye not, do ye not know this, that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators," that's sexual sin, "neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind." So God makes it clear that these are not entering heaven. These wicked, and this is not an all-inclusive list, this is just a sampling, and these will not be in heaven. They will not enter heaven. But then it says, goes on in the list, it says, "nor thieves." Boy, now you're getting personal. "Nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And then think about the hope we have here because Jesus rids us of sin. Notice verse 11. With that sobering statement about all these who will not be in heaven, this sin prevents them from heaven. Notice verse 11. And such were some of you. You guys, some of you, as Paul writes to the Corinthians, some of you used to be effeminate. Some of you used to be adulterers. Some of you were idolaters. Some of you were fornicators. Some of you guys have been extorting people. Some of you used to be adulterers. Some of you used to be drunkards. Some of you used to be... But he says, but ye are washed. Notice verse 11 there. But ye are washed. But ye are sanctified. But ye are justified. Justified means to be declared right. In the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Wow. The most vile and wicked sinners can be cleared. The sin that kept us out of God's kingdom, that kept us out of the glorious eternity that God prepared. The sin that kept us out, Jesus made provision for it to be washed away. Psalm 103, verse 11 and 12 says, "For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us." Sin is defeated. Through Christ, adulterers can be washed. Effeminate can be washed. Abusers of themselves with mankind can be cleansed. Wow, this is wonderful. There's hope. There's hope. Friend, if you're battling with sin, I'll tell you what, the hope comes in the one, through the one who has provided the washing and the cleansing and the removal of every sin. Let's consider number three. I know all these are really tied very closely. Number three here in this series here, finding hope. We can find hope in the Word of God and the God of the Word. We can find hope in the Word of God and the God of the Word. Consider John 16, verse 33, Jesus speaking to his disciples while he was yet on this earth, and he said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Be of good cheer. Cheer up. He says, things are hard and things are gonna be hard, but you can have my joy in you because I've overcome the world. These tribulations are but for a moment. The psalmist in Psalm 42 verse 11 says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" He's having some personal reflection. Why am I depressed? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Hope thou in God. There are good things coming. There's good things ahead. We read there about hope a little bit there in Romans 8, right? Remember Romans 8, verse 28? And we know. Not we think. Not the theory is. No, and we know that all things work together for good. All things? Like that really hurtful thing? Like that thing that somebody said about me? You mean that? That's good? How dare you call that good? Oh, but God says, no, you don't see the whole picture. He didn't say all things are good. He says all things work together for good. Even the worst sufferings that we can face can work together for good. In your bulletin, you have a quote here from missionary, or from the lady, Corrie Ten Boom, missionary certainly as well, I guess. Corrie Ten Boom, think about her life. All that she suffered, the brutality she faced in German concentration camps. Oh, the horror, the abuse, but all things work together for good. You can have hope in the God of the Word and the Word of God. Psalm 119, verse 49 and 50, the psalmist says, "Remember the word, remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me, thy word hath made me alive." The word of God. We must get our focus on the word. You know, if our focus is on the things of this world, if our diet is the content that the world's putting out, the news reports and the growing turmoil, if that's what we digest, if that's what our focus is, we're going to be down. We're going to be dragging. We're going to be sad. But I'll tell you, if we have a daily meditation upon God's truth and upon what God has said, we'll have a direct lift in our spirits from the Spirit of God. We'll have the joy as we respond to those truths. Remember, it's not just hearing, but it's doing. As Jesus in Matthew 7 likened those who heard and didn't do to people who build their lives on the sand. But those who heard and are doers, Jesus said, that's a wise man who built his house on the rock. And when the storm comes, his house will stand. We can have hope even when the storms are raging. We can have hope even when our health fails. We can have hope even if our economy and our personal economy is struggling. We can have hope even through dark trials of sickness or death or great loss. In 2 Peter chapter 1, we are encouraged to take heed unto the word of God like a light that shines in a dark place. Take heed. Peter writes there and says, "We have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well, that ye take heed as unto a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts." Jesus told us that heaven and earth would pass away, but he says, "My word shall not pass away." The word of God is eternal. We can rejoice in hope. Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? You know, you can't have hope. You won't have any enduring hope, any true hope, if you don't know Christ. We must come by simple faith to the Lord Jesus and be saved. Sin is the problem. Christ alone is the answer. By faith alone, we can be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, Acts 16:31 says, and ye shall be saved, and thou shalt be saved. If salvation is your need, come to Christ and find real hope. What about the believer? What about us? Where is our focus? Is it on the world and what's going on? Is it on our own desires, our own lusts, and satisfying them? We'll be dry and hurting, but we can come to the Lord and find rest, find peace, but we must focus. We must meditate upon his word. It's not enough for us to just be saved. We must walk in the word. We must walk with the Lord. If you see a true Christian who has lost their hope, you can also know that they have also lost their focus. If you see a true Christian who has lost their hope, you can also know that they have also lost their focus. We must keep our eyes on the Lord. There is real hope and peace as we trust him. A God of hope. Hope in God and his word.